And 10,000 steps a day has become a fitness mantra for many, but the number was random and it came from a Japanese marketing campaign following the 1964 Tokyo Olympics. Those games had been so popular, the Yamasa Corporation, they wanted to capitalise on the success and they designed the world's first wearable step counter. It was a device they called a Manpo Ke, which roughly translates as 10,000 step meter. So not a lot of scientific analysis involved, but it definitely stuck. Well, a man who knows a fair bit about how many steps are good for the heart is cardiologist Professor Rob Doughty, the Heart Foundation Chair at Heart Health at the University of Auckland and Auckland City Hospital. Good evening, Rob.
Good evening.
I can remember that 10,000 steps thing now from my childhood. I really thought that was way more recent than that.
Yeah, it's certainly been around a long time. And I mean, there's definitely value in it, but as you say, it dates back a long time, and I think it's just stuck as being, you know, the thing that is the goal for everything we do with regard to exercise. But I don't think it is.
No science involved. Oh, 10,000 steps a day would be a reasonably paced walk of about an hour. I mean, how far does 10,000 steps take you? Do you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, if you're equating that across a day, then you are doing a lot of walking. So that really, 10,000 steps is getting up there from the point of view of how much walking you need to do. At least, you know, if you're walking at a reasonable pace for an hour, then you're going to be doing 4,000 or 5,000 steps. So it is a lot of steps across the whole day. And obviously a step count only counts your steps. It doesn't count what other forms of exercise you may be doing if you're undertaking other forms of exercise.
Is it still something to aim for, 10,000 steps?
Look, absolutely. I mean, if you like using gadgets, if you like using a phone or a heart rate monitor or a smartwatch or any of these gadgets that can count your steps, then it's still a very reasonable target to have and to aim for. Because it is a marker of, again, how much activity we're doing. And if you're a bit competitive with yourself and you like to think, I only did 9,000 one day or 11,000 the next day, then clearly it can work for many people. But the step count is not the be-all and end-all of exercise. I think the key message is about actually encouraging us all to be active rather than inactive.
Righto. We'll get on to what those things are in a moment. I just wanted to talk about the target of 10,000 steps. A lot of people would feel that that's too high to start with.
Yeah, and I agree with that. It's a great target for someone who is reasonably fit and active. But if you're starting out from being reasonably unfit and not active, then setting a target of 10,000 often is unrealistic, very unrealistic for people. And so it's almost setting people up to fail from the outset. So, you know, getting over 5,000, getting to 7,000 steps, if you're using the step count in that way, and you're using that in a graded way as people become more active, then it shouldn't just be 10,000 steps a day.
More steps, less coronary heart disease?
Yes, because more steps is physical activity. So I'd turn that round and say more physical activity, less heart disease.
And what do you categorise as physical activity? Anything? Moving your arms, waving about, walking upstairs?
Yep, absolutely. So it's about being active rather than being inactive. So that absolutely, as you say, it's about moving around. It's about moving around in your house. It's about moving around for getting to places that you need to get to. Maybe moving your arms, but certainly being active and moving around. And so people may do a number of different things across a day that will mean that they are active. It might be walking and hence the step count, but if someone goes to the gym or they're on an exercise bike, even if it's 10 minutes, they are being active, but that won't count into a step count. So you're adding up the minutes of being active aiming for about 30 minutes of activity a day for at least 5 days a week would be a reasonable way to view it.
30 minutes of activity a day, what intensity would that be?
So that's getting up to a moderate intensity. So moderate intensity would be where you're going for a walk, you might be feeling a little bit puffed, but you're comfortable to keep going. So you're not so exhausted at the end that you can't do anything. but you're not dawdling along at a pace where you don't feel like you're exercising. So moderate intensity is, you know, you're doing some exercise, but you're able to keep that going. Now, clearly, that's different for everybody. So someone who is relatively inactive, when they start exercising, their level of intensity will be lower than someone who is already used to exercising, and they will increase that as they get fitter.
I see. So dawdling doesn't really count. Oh, it does count, I guess, when you're starting.
Well, it does count when you're starting, but maybe dawdling's not the ultimate goal. Maybe not the start.
No. So what are some of the red flags that you're not exercising enough? Like being puffed, for example, when you walk up a slight hill?
Yeah, and if we're getting puffed or finding our usual daily activities difficult, then and that might be a slight hill, it might be your stairs at home, it might be just the simpler things in the day. If they're difficult, if you're tired and if you're getting puffed, then, you know, I mean, clearly you may need to talk to your doctor about that as well, but that might be a signal to say, actually, becoming more active is going to mean that you can do those daily things more easily and help, and consequently you'll get the health gains from that.
So as a cardiologist, when people come to see you, what do they usually present with?
Well, people would present with a variety of different symptoms. If they have, they may be presenting with tightness in the chest, so a tightness or heaviness or discomfort. They might be presenting with breathlessness, and perhaps breathlessness that is occurring when they're doing things that they used to be able to do more easily. So it's a number of different symptoms that people could have with underlying heart-related problems.
So a person who's been a little bit unfit, because let's say lockdown and people didn't go for that daily walk, and you know, they stayed indoors, they ate a bit more than they meant to, and they've come out of that and thought, actually, I don't feel as able as I used to be. Is it a matter of pushing through that and getting to that level of fitness again? Or if you're puffed and your heart's really pounding, what is that saying to you?
So, I mean, I guess the lockdowns is a really good example, isn't it, as you're saying, that actually many, many people have done less, perhaps eaten a bit more, changed their eating habits and put on some weight. That's almost universal, I think, for many populations, including New Zealand. So that is, in life terms, is still a relatively short period of time. And so when you say, you know, is it okay to push through it, I think I put it in the terms to say, try to progressively recover from that, eat better, rest well, and start taking that exercise that perhaps you used to do, but in lower intensity and perhaps shorter duration, and then building that up over weeks. So don't try and go back and do exactly what you did before all those lockdowns, because you're probably going to find it very hard.
Yeah, that's great advice.
So it's taking a graded approach to it. And if at any point along the way you're worried about how you're feeling, then talk to your doctor about it. It's much better to ask the question, even if everything is okay, ask the question rather than just think, I'll be okay, I'll keep going.
Yeah, very good. And in terms of as you age, and you know, I see a lot of people around who are incredibly fit. They can go to spin classes. You know, they might be 60 plus. They're on a spin bike. They're running. They're doing whatever. Should we all be able to do that?
I mean, I guess in the ideal world, we all should be able to do it. The reality is that many people can't. I think, and there's a host of reasons why not. Sometimes it is other physical problems that will limit people from doing things over decades of their life. But I think also often people become relatively inactive again over a long period of time. And so trying to regain that level of fitness is pretty challenging. So should we all be doing that? Yes, in the ideal world. But I'd come back to what we were talking about earlier, which is to say, really the message is for people to become more active, not to see it as a competition, say, I've got to get on that spin bike or I've got to do this. It's actually saying, what am I not doing that I could start doing? So just moving more, becoming more active. And that's going to be different for what people want to do and are able to do.
Give yourself a break in that regard.
Yeah,
it's not a competition, right? But if you're really fit, or you've got your weight down, you've come through lockdown, you thought, okay, I'm going to get my weight down, I'm pretty back to where I was, or even better than I was before, and I'm at an ideal weight, and no matter what age you are, can you continue with high intensity exercise?
Yes, you can. But I do think that at certain stages in our life, it's important. So, to check in with a doctor. So that it absolutely, first of all, is our GP. So now we should be having regular checks with our GP as we go through our life anyway. So, you know, if we're going into our 60s and to our 70s and then wanting to continue to exercise, perhaps to quite high intensity, then again, just pause, get checked, do the simple things, have your blood pressure checked, have some blood tests done. Get your GP just to look over things, and there may be nothing else to do. Fantastic. But your GP is trained and very, very good at looking out for the things that might mean that someone needs to be checked further. So it's keeping things simple. It's keeping people safe, and then having the confidence to be able to continue exercise over a lifetime.
Yes, confidence is one thing, isn't it? What do you say to your doctor? You say it like a health check.
Yeah, you just say, I'm trying to exercise a bit more and I'd just like a health check. And this is absolutely what doctors, and particularly GPs, are extremely good at doing as that first step, and know what to look for.
Great. And just, because we're talking to a cardiologist, what about things like blocked arteries? Can that be reversed? Can you have them checked?
You absolutely can have your arteries checked, and that may be where you then move on from a general practitioner, and general practitioner might arrange a specialist review of some form. We would love to be able to completely unblock arteries. We don't have the magic fix for it all, so prevention is better than cure, which is what we've been really talking about particularly. But there is an awful lot that can be done if we do have some problems with our arteries. So don't be scared to ask the question of your GP. Don't be scared that if you need to have another assessment, go and do it. And people live for a very long time, even with coronary artery problems. So there's lots we can do, even if we can't just completely fix it all and dissolve all the problems in the arteries away.
Well, thank you so much, Rob. That's been really helpful and very interesting for a lot of people to hear that. So very much appreciate you joining us tonight.
Well, thank you for having me on. Thank you very much.